On tonight's program, we'll begin our series on the greatest stories ever told, the parables of Jesus. Stay right where you are because we start now. Man, I am excited about this new series. I'm so excited. I can't even talk. I'm so excited about this new series, The Greatest Stories Ever Told, that we're going to bring back. This actually is a series that we were doing a few years ago, and I thought, man, it is time to bring it back to talk about the parables of Jesus, the greatest stories ever told. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and it is my privilege to be hanging out with you for the next 30 minutes here on Blog Talk Radio. As we continue our nightly program, we're going to be doing this format, the Monday through Friday, different themes each day format, up until February the 10th when we start the Lenten Radio Retreat. So stay tuned for information about that. Probably next week I'll let you know about the book that we'll be using, and I think you're going to be pleased, especially if you're someone who really wants to get to know Christ better. And I hope you're someone who wants to get to know Christ better. We're going to be starting that retreat coming up in just about a month. Right now, we're continuing our regular Monday through Friday, different theme each night format. Tonight, we are doing, as I said, the greatest stories ever told. We'll be taking a look at the parable of the sower. And as we do, you'll see a little bit more about how it's going to be done. But tomorrow on the show, we are going to focus on getting personal with Jesus. So I really want this to be an important part of the show, as it's going to be an important part of my entire year. We're going to really focus on something that I think is really important. I was having this discussion with my wife, Eileen, today. And I was privileged to watch my good friend, Shane Kapler, on the journey home. If you're not familiar with Shane's work, you really should be. He does some outstanding work. He's got some great books coming out. But he was telling his story on the journey home. And with Marcus Grodi today, it was an encore presentation. And he was talking about the importance of having a real personal relationship with Christ, and he was discussing how it happened in his life. And I'll tell you, I turned to Eileen and I said, so many people don't know about this. They don't know about this fact that you can have a relationship with Christ. He can be your best friend, but you've got to do a few things. And that's why Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. That's why I wrote that book that's coming out later this month, maybe early next month. I wrote it because I thought it was important that people learn that there is a way to have a personal relationship with Christ. You know me, I do a lot of speaking about overcoming anxiety. The only way that that will happen is if you get that relationship in place, that you have a relationship with our Lord. If you do that, your anxiety is going to fade away. And that's what I found in my life. So it's absolutely critical. And it's a lot easier than I ever would have thought possible to have that personal relationship, that friendship with Jesus. And it is not just a cliche. It's really a way of life. So I was excited to hear Shane talk about it, and I'm excited to start talking more about it on this, on the upcoming shows and my live talks and on all of my radio appearances and through my new book. A lot of material to get out there, because we need to understand how possible it is to have this friendship. So that's what's going to be happening on the program tomorrow. And we'll also look at the Sunday Mass readings, which are the readings for the baptism of the Lord, which officially brings the Christmas season to a close. Yeah, I know, it's going to be sad, but we go into ordinary time for a few weeks, and then we're into Lent, which I'm confident is going to be really good, and I hope you'll be with me on the Lenten Radio Retreat. Again, more information on that will be forthcoming. Let's see, I'm enjoying watching this series that I'm doing with Jeanette Benkovic on Women of Grace all this week. And it's funny, you know, you tape these shows. We did them in November, I think. And I haven't seen them since then. And it's kind of neat to be able to sit back and watch the programs as they air. Because when you're in the midst of this, and Jeanette's asking questions and I'm responding, you don't have a lot of time to observe what's going on. So I've been enjoying them. She is an excellent host, and she's really been helping me through all of these programs. If you get a chance, the last one will air tomorrow, the fifth part of the five-part series on Discerning God's Will. Check it out. I think you might enjoy it. It's on the EWTN Television Network with Women of Grace program. Now, tomorrow is a kind of a cool day for me. I get to attend the Catholic Business Network monthly breakfast, Catholic Business Network of South Jersey. And we're going to have a discussion panel there. And I believe the bishop is going to be there. So it's kind of a big day tomorrow at the Catholic Business Network of South Jersey. That's exciting, exciting for me to start off the day that way. My latest book, the one that I'll be working, the one that I'm still working on, that's coming out later this month. Later this year. It's just about finished, and I'm really thrilled about that. That one's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, a biblical devotional for warriors. So if you need a daily dose of scripture to help you get through the day, check out this book. I think you're going to like it. It comes out in the fall of 2016 from Beacon Press, which is the publishing company of Matthew Kelly's Dynamic Catholic organization. So that's going to be exciting for me. I'm excited about doing that. Let's see, what else is going on? Ah, yeah, one other thing I wanted to mention. I got an email today asking about, I made an announcement a few times earlier this week about very soon, and I think I might do it in conjunction with the release of my new book about the personal relationship with Jesus. I made the announcement that I'm going to start accepting limited speaking engagements and offering them for no fee. And I think I already got one person who's interested. I think that's really cool. And I want to let you know, let your pastor know, let your DRE, your adult faith formation director, the person, your evangelization ministry in your diocese, whoever, let them know about this offer, because I'm not going to, since I do this full time, I'm not going to be able to do this constantly. But I thought, you know, I want to get the word out there, and I don't want to be limited by budget restrictions. And so many parishes don't have budgets, or they have limited budgets, that I believe I can get the message out there. So, and I believe there's a message that has to be delivered, and I'm willing to get the message out there. That's what I wanted to say. But what I'm going to do is offer it, and I'm giving you some advance notice, because I haven't officially made the announcement yet. I'm going to be offering my talks for no fee. The only thing I'll ask is that the organization pays for my plane, my lodging, and my meals, but you're still going to save yourself a decent amount of money, which is good. I want to do that, and I'll also ask to take up a free will collection in order that I can still provide for my family. I've got to still do that, but I think that's going to make it a lot more appealing for many people to have me come in and speak about overcoming anxiety, about the Blessed Mother, about discerning God's will, about having a personal relationship with Jesus. So please feel free to get the word out there to your pastor and anybody in your parish or diocese that might be responsible for bringing in speakers. Let them know I'm available. Pass along my email address, gary@followingthetruth.com, and we'll see what we can work out. Again, I haven't officially made the announcement. I'm just going to see how this goes. I have a feeling that this is going to be successful, and we will all make out from this deal. Okay, the beverage du jour today. Here we go. Now, the beverage du jour is Maxwell House decaf coffee. Yes, I know it's not Mystic Monk. Well, I've got a problem. I ordered some coffee from the monks in Wyoming, the monks at Mystic Monk, and it is on the way, but it hasn't arrived yet, so I'm kind of without Mystic Monk coffee for the time being. I know. I even was able to order some Jingle Bell Java. It is still in stock, so if you're interested in checking out some of the greatest coffee you've ever had, Mystic Monk coffee is available through my website, followingthetruth.com. Whenever you purchase the coffee through my website, it results in a small commission for me, helps keep this show on the air. While you're there, if you'd like to do some shopping at Amazon, it helps me greatly if you use the Amazon link on my website at followingthetruth.com. And I would appreciate it if you would bookmark it and use it in the future, because so many people buy things from Amazon. If you would just use the link on my website, it helps me to keep my full-time ministry going. So I really appreciate that. And also the donations. I've been getting some additional donations in the past few days. It's critical. It's critical that I get them in order to keep going. You are the reason I'm here. As I mentioned on the program yesterday, I celebrated 4 years of full-time ministry. There is no way that would be possible without your donations. A lot of the work that I do, TV and radio, that's done free of charge. There's no pay involved there. I don't think that's a commonly known fact, but that's the way it works. But your donations help fund this program and really, really contribute tremendously, that's the word I'm looking for, to my ministry. So I thank you in advance, and I ask you to please continue to remember that it is important in order for me to continue going forward that you would be able to donate. Now, I want you to remember, too, don't put yourself in any kind of financial jeopardy. God wants you to pay your bills first, and I want to be really clear about that. Yes, I need funds to keep going forward, but I don't want it to come out of your mortgage or something like that, or food for your family. That's got to come first, and you're never going to hear me tell you anything else. God wants you to be responsible, and he wants you to take care of your needs. But if you have something extra and you're able and willing to help me out to keep this program and all of my work going, then I could really use it. Okay, we have a deal there, but remember, be responsible and don't put your needs on the back burner. You've got to meet your responsibilities too. Okay, I think that's it for the business. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the mass readings. Then we'll talk about one of the greatest stories ever told. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for giving us another day. We give you thanks for all of the blessings in our life. We give you thanks for sending your Son Jesus to suffer and die for us so that we may be able one day to live with you in heaven. We thank you for sacred scripture where we can hear you speak directly to us. It's a really great gift, Father, and in a few minutes we're going to read some sacred scripture and we're going to hear you speak to us. We thank you for loving us enough to do that. We thank you for your kindness, the many things that you have given to us, the many things that you continue to give to us. I thank you for giving me this radio program. I thank you for the great listeners. I ask you to bless everyone who listens to this show. I ask you to help the sick, the lonely, the anxious, those who are struggling financially, those who might be dealing with doubt or despair, those who are suffering from religious persecution, or anyone who is dealing with an extreme weather situation. Father, help them, keep them safe, keep them under your protection, and grant them your peace. And I turn this program over to you, Father in heaven. I ask you to speak through me, to use my words to proclaim your message. Please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive of the message that you have for us tonight. And we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn, as we do each night, to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her help. As together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. Now, I realize that I know I have some new listeners. I've been getting new listeners. Generally, when I do a national appearance, a TV appearance, such as Women of Grace, which we've been doing all this week, I get new listeners. So if you are a first-time listener, I want to welcome you. It's a great pleasure to have you here. I hope you'll continue to come back and listen to the program. It's an honor to be able to speak about Jesus every day, on every Monday through Friday, on Blog Talk Radio. We've been doing this show for 5 years now. We're now in our sixth year, praise the Lord. And know that you are always welcome here. We're gearing up in another month to start our Lenten radio retreat. If you need a little help getting through Lent, you can do it right here. We'll do it together right here on the program. You don't even have to leave your home if you don't want to. So this is an honor to be able to do this on the show, and I would love to have you as a listener. If there's anything that I can do for you, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And we do this show every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen directly from blogtalkradio.com, or you can listen from iTunes. You can download the show from iTunes, or you can, in fact, listen to the last five programs by directly going to my website, followingthetruth.com. Listen right from the website. Okay, that's it. A lot of announcements, but let's do some scripture readings. once again, we are going to feature St. John for the first reading. It's from the first letter of St. John. Really good stuff, as it has been for the past several weeks. Today's first reading comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses beginning in verse 19. Here's what he says. Beloved, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is a commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Boy, St. John wasn't messing around here today, was he? And this is what I like about his writing. He doesn't pull any punches. He tells it to us like we need to hear it. If we say we love God, but we hate our brother, we're liars. For whoever does not love a brother who he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. If that's not bad enough, St. John goes on to say that the love of God is that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Which ones? All of them. If we love the Lord, we will keep his commandments. Keep that in mind. Very few people, very few Christians, when asked if they love the Lord, will say no. But how can you be sure? Well, St. John gives us the guidelines today. He tells us how we know if we really love the Lord. And that's it. It's a hard statement. It's a hard statement to hear, but it's one that we need to hear. And a lot of us are going to hear this and get a little uncomfortable. That's good. It's good to be uncomfortable sometimes because it reminds us that there's work to be done. And we all need to work on some things. We're heading into Lent. We should really try to work on some things, these things especially, that keep us away from the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that keep us away from the Lord. We want to make sure that we stay close to him. The psalm is, O Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. Psalm 72, O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment. From fraud and violence he shall redeem them, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. May they be prayed for continually. Day by day shall they bless him. May his name be blessed forever. As long as the sun, his name shall remain. In him shall all the tribes of the earth be blessed. All the nations shall proclaim his happiness. And again, we continue that theme of the Epiphany when Jesus is manifested to the entire world. That's the theme that we've been hearing in these responsorial psalms all this week. The Gospel, Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 22, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Pretty incredible scene, isn't it? When you think about it, Jesus appears at the synagogue and he tells the people who were listening. You know, he's in Nazareth, he's in his hometown. Tells the people who were listening, who were in the synagogue, that I am the Messiah. That's essentially what he did. So that's, man, can you imagine how difficult that was? And, you know, people were amazed, but some people didn't want to recognize the fact They discounted him because they were too familiar with him. They discounted him as being the savior because they were too familiar with him. That's a message that we can all, that we should all take note of. We want to be really careful in life to not discount the Lord's message because it's coming from an unlikely source. So keep that in mind as we go into this new year. It's really, really critical that we learn to be open to the Lord's message, no matter where it comes from. Okay? If you have questions, let me know, Gary@followingthetruth.com. I want to jump right into these greatest stories ever told, because this might take a few minutes. The greatest stories ever told, the parables of Jesus. Now, I'm really excited to re-debut this series. I don't think that's a word, but we're going to use that word. Here's what I'm going to be using as the source. I picked up a book several years ago called The Greatest Stories Ever Told, The Parables of Christ. And what it is a reprint of a book that was originally published in 1940 under the title of The Parables of Christ. This was published by a group called Newman Press. Not sure if they're still in business or not, but they did a nice job publishing old Catholic books, reprinting them and giving them new life. This book is an entire book about the parables of Jesus. Today we're going to look at the parable of the sower. This parable was contained in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Luke. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to choose Luke's version today. Again, I'm going to have to choose one. Most of these parables are contained in more than one gospel. I'll choose Luke's today, and we'll talk about all three as we go through it. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the roadside where it was trodden upon, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, but on sprouting it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell amid the briars, and the briars grew up with it, and choked it. And some fell upon good soil, and springing up it yielded a hundredfold crop. And as he said this, he cried out, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Now the parable means this. The seed is the word of God, and those along the roadside are they that have heard. Then comes the devil and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those upon the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with delight, yet these have no root, and believe for a while, and in the hour of trial fall away. And that falling among the briars are they that have heard, yet as they go their way are choked by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But that upon the good soil are they who, with a noble and generous heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and yield fruit with endurance. Isn't that good? You know what I like about the way Luke writes this? He gives the meaning of the parable, which is really, really helpful. And just as in the way of an explanation, Jesus would use parables. They were stories, and it was a common teaching device popular in his time to tell or to relate mysteries or teachings, that's a better word, teachings about the kingdom of heaven. He was teaching people through these parables. And really, if I were to sum up this parable, we'll go into a little more depth, but if I were to sum up this parable, essentially what it means is when many of us hear the Word of God, we hear the Word of God every Sunday proclaimed in the readings. You hear it every day on this show. A lot of times, we ignore what we hear. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Sometimes we just get so distracted by the things of the world that we tend to lose sight of what the Lord's saying. We want to take His Word seriously. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to help us, and we want to really pay attention to His words. And that's one of my goals in 2016, to really pay attention to what Jesus is saying in the Gospels and really put His words into practice. Now, some insights from the book. The figure chosen by our Lord on this occasion was familiar to all His hearers. No doubt, each one of them had often seen farmers going forth from their houses in the fall of the year. As soon as the earlier rains began and scattering by hand over their fields, the wheat and barley seed, designated in the Bible and among European peoples of the present day simply as corn. And now when our Lord was speaking, it was springtime, and everyone could observe the crops growing and maturing, some luxuriantly, others poorly, according to the place and the soil where the seed had been sown. In olden times as well as now, there was a great difference in the fertility of the soil in different places of the Holy Land. So what Jesus was doing, he was taking advantage of the fact that the people understood what it meant to plant seeds. He was meeting them where they are. This is one of the great things about how the Lord operates. Okay, this is one of the few parables which our Lord himself explained. His closing words, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear," were an invitation to the well-disposed among his hearers. And you know, we read Luke's version, but I believe that that statement that we're talking about took place in Mark's version, and it takes place in, it's contained in Matthew's version. So, or maybe just Mark's version. But anyway, it is in both of those versions. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, was an invitation to the well-disposed among his hearers to seek an explanation of the teaching contained in the figure given. As it is with the seed sown in the ground, so would it be with the word of God, the gospel message which our Lord revealed to the world. The heavenly seed would not suddenly yield a great harvest. It would grow and develop gradually, even in the best soil, but in time, if not hindered, would give an ample return. As there could be nothing wrong with the gospel message, nor with the original sower of the divine seed, the failure of the harvest as regards those who heard our Lord must be sought in the soil, the hearers of the word. What was true of them is true in its measure of all subsequent hearers to the end of time. If they, like the hardened path running through the farmer's field, are too dull and too indifferent in mind and too cold and hard in heart to understand or to care or to understand the gospel teaching, then Satan, the evil one, will quickly come like the birds from the bushes and snatch it away before there is time to absorb it. So long and so much have the hearts of such persons indulged worldly and evil influence that they are well nigh impervious to higher spiritual impressions. This is really a wake-up call for all of us. Are we paying attention? Are we paying attention to the teachings of our Lord? Are we taking them seriously? Are we really listening? Are we trying to put his words into practice in our lives? You don't have to understand every last detail. When you hear the gospel or the readings proclaimed at church, you don't have to understand every last detail, because that comes with time. I don't ever understand every last detail. What I heard a long time ago is pick out one thought. First of all, ask the Holy Spirit to help you before you hear the readings or before you read Scripture on your own. And then ask the Lord to share with you one thought that he wants you to remember. And when you focus on that one thought, in this case, to me, what this is this parable is saying is that I need to pay attention to what the Lord speaks and put these words into action in my life. The people that heard him at his synagogue, remember that gospel today that we read, many of them ignored him. Yeah, these people were amazed, some of them were astonished, but many people turned on him because they couldn't believe that this Jesus of Nazareth could be the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. So let's continue to try our best to really let the Lord speak to us, and remember that whenever we hear the word proclaimed through the mass readings, when we read the Bible, that's really the Lord speaking to us. We want to put his words into action. All right, we are just about out of time. Now, tomorrow, God willing, I'll be back here. We'll start our series on getting personal with Jesus. We want to really get to know him. We'll focus on that tomorrow. I hope you have a great night. God bless you. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.